Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mystery on the rocks, oh yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah.
And welcome to another episode of Mystery on the Rocks, a show that takes unsolved true mysteries and cocktails, puts them together for... It's for you. We do it for you. You're welcome. With me, as always, is the fantastic Suze Kempner.
Good morning, Masood.
Good morning. And
It's the morning.
This is strange, isn't it?
And yeah, weird.
The amazing Chris Stokes.
Good morning, Mr. Milas. Good morning, everybody.
Thank you, Chris. I'd like the rest of the class to take an example from Chris.
Did you do that at assembly, Suze?
Yeah.
Good morning, everybody.
No.
Oh.
We had to say, good morning, Mr. Lee.
Yeah.
That was the headmaster's name.
Yeah, when it was assembly, the headmaster would come out and he'd say, good morning. And we'd have to go, good morning, Mr. Brown. Good morning, everybody. And
when I had to say good morning to everyone.
Yeah, when he said good morning, everybody, and like in unison. And when I think back to it, like the memory is of like quite cultish.
Yes.
Yeah, all the kids all listless.
Yeah, yeah. And like really, because kids are, I mean, there's a reason that the scary kid is a trope in a horror film.
Yeah. So,
yes.
You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah. Right. Shall we get started? Chris,
yes.
What do you have for us today?
Drinks.
Oh, drinks. Oh yes. What are we drinking, guys? What have we got?
Okay. So at 9 a.m. on a Saturday morning, I wasn't sure whether I should go get a drink, and then Suze was like, "I'm having one," so I went, "Okay,
yeah, I'll make one."
So I decided to open because for my birthday, it was my birthday a few weeks ago. My sister got me this lavender gin that her neighbour or her mate makes, and it's I'd never tried it, so I had some of that. I had it neat first just to see,
yeah,
and it's delicious.
And yeah,
I've topped it up with dash water. Do you know what dash water is?
Oh,
no.
Is this a hard seltzer?
No. It's sparkling water, and there's a few different flavors, but they infuse it with, you know what they call wonky fruit, like fruit that hasn't been sold?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So it's sustainable, I guess.
Yes.
So yeah, this is the blackcurrant variety. So it's blackcurrant soda water, basically.
Oh, very nice.
Lavender gin and
Yeah,
that's why I said I'm really glad you made me go and get a drink. And do you know what would go really well in that as well? A little bit of rosemary, I reckon.
Yeah, I reckon so. You're going to go get some from the piss rosemary from
the
front garden.
Piss
rosemary.
It's everywhere. It's fucking everywhere.
But I haven't got a name for that, so have at it.
Just a dash of morning.
Just a...
morning dash.
Mustache.
Mustache. That's good.
And what do you have, Suze?
What I've got here, it's all settled. It's right. So I went round. I'm not a ginger person at all, but
brunette.
Someone made a cocktail for me recently.
Oh, Chris.
What did he say?
Brunette.
Yeah, exactly. Chris, save some for the actual episode.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm holding it here as if
I'm definitely going to cut that bit out. We're already recording the actual episode.
No, it's happening now, mate.
great stuff, Chris. This is called Gimba, and it's
Gimba.
It's no alcohol. It's a ginger concentrate.
Yeah.
The ginger's very fresh, and it's got a load of herbs in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, ingredients.
So it's like a cordial.
Yeah, but it's kind of like a shrub.
Oh, yes.
I mean,
okay.
It's very thick. And so 38% ginger, cane sugar, lemon, water, spices. Then it just says spices. Oh, well. I mean, it tastes very herby.
Yeah.
But it's alcohol free, but you can have it with just tonic. Or I've decided to put
How
it
did
with
you
tonic.
Come by it, Suze?
Yeah.
My friend Richard, his partner, had some. Oh. He was like, ooh, would you like to try this Gimba? And I went, I'll try it. And he made a really nice cocktail with it. I can't remember what was in it, though, so I've made up. Tonic, Gimba, and Filthy Smoke.
Way.
Ah.
Well, whiskey and ginger do go well together. So
they do.
Exactly. And then I've added tonic.
Wow. Yeah, that's good.
Shall I taste it?
Yeah.
I remember...
Zing! Oh, that's good. You'd like it.
So, Chris, what do you have for us today?
Well, we're putting a pin in what we're currently doing.
Our big espionage, global espionage.
We're nearly up to the 80s, aren't we?
Very nearly. So we're putting a pin in what we're currently doing. I don't even know what we're doing. Season? Themed?
Season. Our themed season,
Themed, like it feels like a marathon at the moment. But
marathon,
an
ultra marathon.
We're going to do a little sidestep and we're going to go way back to season one. Because one of the unsolved mysteries we did there, and one of the greatest unsolved mysteries of all time, may have been solved. So it would be remiss of us to not mention that and do a little sequel,
Absolutely.
A little update.
Yeah.
So back in season one, we had Chris Washington on to talk about the Somerton Man, the Tamam Shud case.
Yes. Oh, Tamam Shud not. Oh, kill me.
Great one.
I don't want to be around anymore.
It's on a level with Brunette, but fine.
Yes. So
the Somerton Man, I don't know whether you remember, was a man had died in a sitting position on a beach in Australia, and no one knows who he was.
That's right. And he had a mysterious note sewn into his clothes?
Sewn into his trousers that said, Tamam Shud, which is Persian, I think, for it is ended or it's over.
Yes.
And then there was this whole sort of like, who is he? Why was he there? Blah, blah, blah. And they think they have solved who he was.
Whoa! Because I remember there was like stuff with his car. There were like some clues to who he might be because his car was nearby.
Yeah,
or something.
And it was to do with maybe he'd come there to reconnect with this nurse, and there was like this love story behind it.
That's right. It's if you haven't listened to it, go way back and listen to it because we could do like a little YouTube recap. But you're on the internet listening to this. Do it yourself.
look up our episode. Find out what number episode it is.
Ignore my rudeness and listen.
Hey, how about do it yourself, asshole? Wow, Masood, Jesus.
Hey, Masood, wow. I don't know, fatherhood is really for you. You're very, very rude. Very rude. Not even mean, just rude. I prefer if you were mean, but you're just rude.
Yeah, just very rude.
So
rude, Masood.
At the time... and also no one really knows why he died.
Yes. I remember there was some food in his, like the toxicology was like...
He'd eaten a pasty.
Yeah, that's right.
That was his, which, if you listen to American podcasts about this, they pronounce it pasty.
Pasty. Oh, he ate a pasty.
That's funny. He's a little pasty.
And I'm not saying that to sneer at Americans because there's loads of things that like we would mispronounce if it's not a word.
Sidewalk aluminum.
I was listening to a review of a game called Viscera Cleanup Detail, and the person who reviewed it said Visera, and I'm like, they don't come across that word very often, so of course they mispronounced it, but everyone in the comments is like, it's Viscera, you fucking idiot!
They were saying Visera.
It's like the flower is technically pronounced Dahlia.
But Dahlia.
We say Dahlia.
Yeah.
And plenty of people will write in and try and correct that, and we'll just slide that into the old
tell you what, those people are all expat twats.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
What amused me about that so much wasn't just sort of like, oh, by the way guys, it's Dahlia, she went straight for calling us cunts.
Yeah, you're like, wow.
Yeah, man.
Oh, hey, that's
I hope whoever that was has got the help they need, because that was fucking insane.
Yeah, weird, very weird, very
that's
weird.
Very, how rude.
People are dicks, very rude. Masood would never be like that.
On the 1st of December 1948 was when he was found sitting up, quite well dressed, because he had his shirt and his trousers on, looking out to sea against a wall, pasty in his belly, tamam shud in his keks. But they think they know who he was.
Is now.
Yeah, okay. But I think, actually, I can't remember whether we did this, because there were theories floating around. So I think this theory was floating around at the time.
Yeah.
That he might have been called Carl Webb, a 43-year-old electrical engineer from Melbourne.
Ah.
The University of Adelaide did this, have been obviously like looking into it. And Professor Derek Abbott from the University of Adelaide on Monday, literally. So, like,
this
when this
Monday.
Goes out last week,
yeah.
Believes that, yes, he was called Carl Webb.
Okay.
Now, what's interesting, at the time, the person that did the autopsy believed that he died from heart failure due to poisoning. So he'd been poisoned. And the coroner, at the time, didn't rule out murder.
Right.
Because it's strange that he was only 43.
Yeah, and he's dead.
If it was Carl Webb, he was 43.
Yeah.
If he wasn't, he was sort of like still around that age.
Yeah.
Okay.
They exhumed him last year because they're still looking into his identity. And I didn't know that they'd exhumed him last year, but I was like, I'm not going to... We're going to wait and see what happens before we go back and revisit it.
Yeah.
So the police... Tamam should.
Oh, you laugh when she says it. It's just a goddamn popularity contest with you kids.
South Australian police haven't released a statement on the identity or provided an update on their own investigation yet. And the coroner is going to be asked imminently to confirm the identification of him being Carl Webb.
Wow.
That's mad.
So Abbott was researching with an American genealogist called Colleen Fitzpatrick, and they analysed DNA evidence from hairs caught in a plaster cast made of his face more than 50 years ago.
Whoa!
So they started with a match in the DNA database. Apparently a cousin, or a DNA cousin, which is apparently different from a real cousin.
From a regular cousin?
DNA cousin.
That means you can marry him and everything's okay, right?
I had sex with my DNA cousin.
No, that's just as bad. You can't do that. Yeah.
They built out a family tree until they found someone who fit the description of who they were looking for. When they did that, the possibilities were 4,000 people.
What? Oh, could have been 4,000 people.
That's too many, man.
I'm worried, man. I don't think they're going to do it in time.
But like through process of elimination and everything, they discovered like that Carl Webb was born in 1905, which would have made him 43 at the time. But they found that Carl Webb had no death record. There was no record of Carl Webb's death.
Oh, shit.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
So if he was Carl Webb, he died anonymously as the Somerton Man.
Of course.
So that would have whittled out a lot of the... Like, everyone born in 1905, that whittles out a bunch of people. And
Carl Webb was from Melbourne, so what was he doing in Adelaide? I mean, that's such a vague question.
He was hitting the beach,
I've been to other places. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That is like, if Suze Kempner's from Hawley, what's she doing in Gatwick?
Like, wow, she's living there, mate. That's what it is.
Just here, aren't I?
Yeah. If Masood Marsh is from Hong Kong, why is he in London? Because that's where his family is. He lives there because his family lives there.
But do you remember this possible love story that was...
Vaguely. I remember
another thing about Carl Webb was that he had separated from his wife and that she had moved to South Australia. So maybe he'd come to try and reconcile.
Oh, Carl, give it up, man.
Carl. He showed up with a boombox over his head.
She doesn't want you.
And he's playing...
Yeah, he's doing Say Anything, yeah. And the song he's playing is...
Benny Goodman.
And she's like, oh, Carl.
That song is in that quite very long Stephen King...
Oh, we talked about this already.
And it just
that
keeps
thing
popping
that's...
up, and it's like...
Yeah, yeah, and you said, oh, every fucking chapter is
yeah,
there.
Yeah, literally.
Like, imagining it written
it.
Down.
Yeah, oh.
And then they interview Stephen King about his writing process, and he's like, I just do 9 to 5. I sit down and I just write.
Stephen, we've looked at the latest manuscript, and there's about 45 pages of what I assume is the description of...
You can just write the name of the song, of the song. Stephen. Isn't the song called In the Mood?
I think it is, yeah. It's Benny Goodman, isn't it?
Or I don't know.
I think it is. It's
a song called In the Mood because I remember one of my first memories of my mum doing dressage was a routine to that song, and I was like, it's called In the Mood.
You could do a cover version of it where you slightly change the key and call it In a Mood.
In a Mood. Oh, bloody horses.
Is it In the Mood? I think it is. Yeah, it is In the Mood.
So Colleen Fitzpatrick is convinced they've solved his identity.
So, okay.
Right.
She's like, this is an amazing mystery to solve.
And, yeah.
Like, let's find out. If they have solved it and it is Carl Webb, then yeah, knowing who the Somerton Man is huge. Cause
it's massive.
It would be like... It would be like actually proving the existence of the Loch Ness Monster, or like finding out unequivocally what happened at the Dyatlov Pass.
I think it's up there with... I don't know if it's up there with, like, it proved the existence of the Loch Ness Monster.
It would blow my mind if the Loch Ness Monster was real. If someone turned around to you... Like,
yeah, I know, but I think it would blow your... I think it would blow your mind more than them finding the identity of the Somerton Man.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody went, there's actually a monster?
They found a literal dinosaur in the lake, and Chris is like, wow, this is like when they found out who the Somerton Man actually was, and people are like...
There's a dinosaur in Scotland. This is exactly like when they found out who Carl Webb was.
Now they know what happened to Carl Webb, guys.
There is a literal dinosaur.
Chris is like, I'm in the mood to solve a mystery.
I don't know. I think, like, I always thought I was really sensitive, but I must have a thicker skin than I thought, because your impression of me is fucking horrible. It doesn't, like, it doesn't upset me in any way.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So while they think they've solved who he was, they still don't know how he died.
Right.
Okay.
And possibly not really why he was there. Like, I mean, like, the identity of the Somerton Man is the biggest mystery. They think they've solved that. But then there's other, like, little tributaries that they don't think they've figured it out. So solving how and why he died could take years. Someone called Carolyn Billsborough, who was a filmmaker and director of the documentary Missing Pieces about the Somerton Man, said the news was really exciting. And
yeah, absolutely.
We knew this day was going to come at some point, which I guess is true. Like, at some point in about 16 years, we might know what happened to Letitia Theroux, because the files...
I was about to say, they're going to open that up, aren't they? That's mad. It's going to be 16
that is really,
when
that happens. That one is more exciting to me than Somerton Man.
Yeah.
Actually. Oh, yeah, same.
To me, like, that would be like if aliens were real. I'd be like, what?
Carolyn Billsborough then goes through a few other things about, like, theories that might have happened. So, this is a direct quote from her. We had all these grandiose ideas about him being Russian, American, European, and she herself was convinced that he was from Europe, a displaced person after the Second World War who was there alone. But to find out that he's Australian from Victoria...
Yes.
And that he died, and no one obviously noticed that he was missing, because that's the other thing. If it was Carl Webb, why did no one report Carl Webb missing? Why did no one go, oh, that's Carl Webb? because there were photographs of the Somerton Man in the contemporary press, like all over. So it's kind of tragic that no one noticed.
No one knows who he is. Yeah, that's what I find really odd, is that he's
even
he's
if he'd gone to go and track down his ex-wife, she will have seen the news.
Why didn't she go?
Oh, I used to be married to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless he was bloody horrible.
So even though
even though
they're convinced they've solved it, that he's Carl Webb, there's loads of other questions that it's throwing up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like it's like that's what I find really odd, is that like why?
Do you remember in the original episode there was they thought they'd found the son of the Somerton Man?
Oh, vaguely.
A guy called Robin Thompson.
Right.
This idea that's not Webb.
Yeah, nice name change, dickhead.
This idea that it's Carl Webb throws that into
completely out the window.
Yes.
Yeah.
So did he claim that? Was he like, oh, I'm definitely the Somerton Man's son, and then like,
no, he didn't. I think somebody traced it.
I see.
Oh, like, you might be. So like, right. Those links go back to the scrap of paper. That actually say Tam Am Shud.
So weird.
They were found in his trousers. The phrase was identified as coming from the classic book of Persian poetry, the Rubaiyat.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. The police then asked the public, this is recapping what we said in the original episode, the police asked the public if anyone had a copy of that book with the last page missing, because it had been torn out, and then a man came forward with that book with the last page torn out.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
That's impossible to fake.
And he said it had been thrown into the back of his car.
Oh, and this is where the car came from. Yes.
Oh, yes, I remember, yeah.
Yes.
And the copy not only had its last page torn out, but it also had incoherent writing, like a code.
That's right, yeah. And people were trying to solve the code to try and figure out
Billsborough,
who
directed the documentary, says that the theory that the Somerton Man was a Russian spy started to take hold in the 1970s at the time of the Cold War. Which, does that relate to what we've been doing?
Yeah.
Did I pull the wool over your eyes and say maybe this has nothing to do with our current series? Because, it doesn't. But like,
it doesn't. But what if it did?
You tricked us. No, I didn't. Oh, okay.
Did I make a repeat?
In the words of Andreas Schneider.
This is where the love story came in, because written on the back cover was the phone number of a young nurse, which is where the love story came in. Later identified as Jo Thompson, the mother of... the guy that they were like, maybe he is the son.
He's the son, I see.
Because Jo Thompson lived a 5-minute walk away from where the Somerton Man was found dead.
Right, okay.
And Thompson was taken by authorities to visit the Death Mask.
Which is a great metal band.
And the taxidermist who was there said that it was obvious she knew who he was. He could read it in her face. It was obvious. Then they tried to contact the Thompson family, but finding out that both Jo Thompson and her son Robin were now dead, they sought expert opinion, which showed biological links between him and the Somerton Man. Do you remember we were talking about that? That's what they were looking into at the time we were recording our
actual episode
on it. And then Fitzpatrick said that the DNA evidence disproves any relationship with Robin Thompson.
Right.
So even though Abbott had attempted to contact the Thompson family, and then he found out that they were both dead, he sought expert opinion, which showed biological links between Robin Thompson and the Somerton Man, because they had the same rare dental condition or something.
Okay, right.
Fitzpatrick then said that the DNA evidence disproves any genetic relationship with them. And what I find interesting here is that Abbott, who was doing the investigation, ended up marrying Robin Thompson's daughter, Rachel.
What? Yeah.
So you know the nurse whose phone number was found in that book?
Yeah.
Her granddaughter is now the wife of the guy that solved the...
No way!
That is mad.
What a crazy world.
I mean, hey, you know, I'm solving your possible dead grandfather's murder. I mean, he might not be a grandfather. I've already done the test. But it's possible. What do you think? How about you come back to my house?
If they've solved it, and if it is Webb, Carl Webb.
Carl Webb.
They have solved that mystery, but there's so much more. And then the final quote is from Billsborough, who directed the documentary. Her final quote is, there's almost a sequel here, not of Who is the Somerton Man, but now it's the mysterious case of Carl Webb.
Who the hell is Carl Webb? Who the hell is Carl Webb?
This guy, he's an enigma.
And stuff. So that is the update on the...
There we go. Now we got a whole other mystery. Who is Carl Webb?
I'm furious. I'm disgustipated. Well, thank you, Chris, filling us in on the latest on the Summerton Man.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I spotted that on Reddit. I've got Unsolved Mysteries on Reddit. And every now and again, something will pop up. A lot of the time, very unfortunately, they are missing persons things, which is always a bit sad. It's very sad. And then this popped up, and I was like, "Oh shit! Oh, we did a thing on that. Oh, brilliant!" And I had a quick scan. I didn't want to ruin it for myself, because I do like it when Chris does it. It's a lot nicer.
Yeah, it's nice to have the mystery unfold before our very eyes.
You haven't been googling Ken Brennan, have you?
No, spoiling yourself
for when he might show up.
No, absolutely not.
The only reason being is that if I then say, when you say, "Hey Chris, what have you got for us this week?" And I say, "Oh, it's this." And then in the back of your head, you've already Googled it and you know he's going to show up.
Ken Brennan. Yeah. No, no. That won't happen.
I've told listeners to never comment. They can spoil themselves, but I don't want you two to be spoiled.
Go for it, dickheads. All right, thank you.
Looking out for numbers one and two. Who's number one, who's number two? You'll never know. thanks so much, Chris. That was excellent. You can find us on the internets, Mystery on the Rocks, at Mystery on the Rocks but RX on Twitter and Instagram. You can also find us on Patreon, where you can watch this lovely video and get yourself some early episodes, get yourself some sweet swag, get yourself all sorts of goodies, extra episodes cocktail recipes, depending on the tier that you join.
Oh, I didn't name my drink.
What a massive oversight.
My drink is named by, bearing in mind the ginger thing in my drink is called Gimba.
Yeah.
So I call it Everything the Light Touches.
Yes, that was just what I was about to say.
Everything the Light Touches is my cocktail. Oh, what a great name.
The Light Touches is my cocktail.
It's my cocktail. That's it. I was just about to say something. I was about to...
Imagine you're in a cocktail bar and on the menu there's a cocktail called Everything the Light Touches. You'd be like, I'm ordering that.
I'm having that, please.
I think that's an incredible name for anything.
Yeah.
For anything.
And boobs. The cocktail waiter has to do the voice.
Everything the light touches.
Yes, you can find the recipes exactly for the cocktails in this episode. Patreon.com/mysteryontherocks, spelled ROCKS, and you'll find all that lovely stuff there. Join the Patreon, and you can also email us mysteryontherocks, spelled ROCKS, @gmail.com if you're like, "Hey, Masood, I found you very rude."
Rude Masood. Hey guys, our bonus episode, we could say that they are full of stuff that the public were dying to hear, but
absolutely
can't.
But you
so
just
only
can't
can on the Patreon.
You can so only,
you can
get
only
on
hear
Patreon.
On the Patreon. I think some of our best stuff is on the bonus
episode.
I think so too.
If I do say so myself, some of our best
stuff. Get yourself a boner. Oops, I mean bonus.
Did I make a repeat? Thanks so much, everybody, for listening. As always,
bye.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row, dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.